Good morning. We are learning Shmuel Beis. We are in the 14th parak, starting the 14th parak. We're on page 288. We have our new packets. In the previous parak, which we were discussing, was the situation in which Avshalom was very upset at Amnon for what Amnon had done to Tamar, humiliating her and taking advantage of her, things of that nature. He waited to the right time. In fact, 2 years until finally he felt that Avshalom felt that Amnon would have been vulnerable and ready to be killed, and in fact he sent his messengers to do so, and he was killed. We saw in the end of the parak that Avshalom ended up running away, perhaps in the fear of having hurt his father so much for having killed one of David's sons that he felt it was necessary to run away. The question is, this lack of relationship between David and Avshalom so intense that there's no way that they could get back. So on this, we begin with the next pair. B'yeda Yoav ben Tzruya. Yoav ben Tzruya, who was a very wise individual, knew Kilev HaMelech al Avshalom. He knew that the heart of the king was together with Avshalom, which basically means that Yoav understood that really David was very upset about this whole situation, the things that Avshalom did, but nonetheless was still his child and wanted to be able to get back together with him. But he knew that he couldn't just get back together by just Yoav speaking to him directly. We look in the Radak over here. The Radak says, on the words Vayeda Yoav, that Yoav knew or perceived, says the Radak, Hikir mitoch devarav. He was able to figure out, based on his numerous conversations with David, that in fact David wanted to be able to somehow ignore or forget what Avshalom did so Avshalom could come back. Vayira ma'amar lo b'feirish. However, Yoav didn't want to bring this up explicitly by himself. Instead, he felt it would probably be better to present this by a neutral party and to be able to somehow maybe not even directly telling him that you should reunite with Avshalom, but in an allegory, as we'll see, which they will, as we've seen before, share their own story. And hopefully David will be able to figure out, based on that story, what that person should do. And that story will be so similar to his own that hopefully it will cause him to get back together with Avshalom. Now, one of the other reasons why people felt Avshalom should certainly be returned, as we look in the English on page 289, which is underlined, why did Yoav take such a keen interest in securing Avshalom's return? Who cares? What is Yoav so concerned about this whole matter? So it's possible that he may have thought that Avshalom's talents would be an asset to David's rule. Obviously, Avshalom was not a simple man. He was a very powerful person. And we'll see how much power he will have. And therefore, he felt it would be in our best interest, instead of him being our enemy, to have him come back to us, or else it could be huge potential issues in the future. Yeah.
But I wonder, in a really spiritual way, he does, because he knows why Avshalom would cause this whole thing. If David himself would have turned around and said to him, what did you do to your sister?
Right.
Which is the same thing that happened with Yaakov.
Apparently, Yoav knew everything that happened. Right.
It was the inside story, and right. Everybody else knew because the way she left Amnon. Everybody must have known. It must have been the talk of the town.
Absolutely. So you're saying that you can almost justify on some level Avshalom's behavior, right?
David's
to Tamar.
Feeling of responsibility for what happened between Avshalom and Amnon.
Right.
If he would have taken charge of it, this would not have been
correct.
Have come to him.
That's right. That's right. That's true. That's true. And the only thing that, as we saw last week, is he made a decree that no longer yichud is permissible. You can only be skud, but he didn't. That was only from now on. He didn't do anything to rectify the problem of the past. So you're right. Okay, so this is what Yoav realized, that there was a potential, and he, for some reason, as we saw, why he cared so much about it, to be able to somehow get the two, father and son, back together. So pasuk beis.
It also says that he may have been afraid, that someone might pose a danger to
him. Right, I mean, because he was such a powerful person, that, and as we're going to end up seeing, that this is precisely what's going to end up happening, that Avshalom will, unfortunately, cause major problems for David. So therefore, Yoav, with his tremendous wisdom and insight, understood that the best thing he could do was to get Avshalom to side with David, and better not have him as our enemy.
The next item that you underline is very interesting.
Right, isn't it interesting?
Perhaps Yoav had a selfish reason.
What does it say? Interesting. Very interesting. Right. Okay. So so there are different possible reasons. It could be that it's not just one. It could be they all factor into one another. Okay. So pasuk beis. But Yishlach Yoav Tekoa. So Yoav sent Tekoa, which is a place. We'll see what's so special about that place. V'yikach misham isha chachama. So he went to a woman who was very smart.
Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa. It almost sounds like Tekoa is something that he sent it. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa.
No, it's to Tekoa.
In other words, the way it's written there.
It's also say if you go to Israel, Tel Aviva. I'm going to Tel Aviva.
But the place is called Tekoa.
I know Tel Aviva.
Even though it's part of the name, I think
you'd like a lamed or something as a prefix before that word.
It should have been Litzikos.
Right, I heard. Okay, so, but this is the place that he went, and we'll see what's so special about Tekoa in a second, but in Tekoa was an Isha Chachama, it was a woman who was very wise. V'yomer Eleha, so instead of him, as we saw in the Radak, tackling this issue head on, he wanted to be able to appoint some neutral party to be able to come up with some story and to present it in front of her. V'yomer Eleha, his Adlina, V'livshina Bigde Evel. What I want you to do is I want you to go in front of the king, to stand in front of him, and that you should act as though you are in a velus, that you're mourning, and that you're wearing garments of one who is in mourning. V'al tasuchi shemen, and you should not anoint yourself with oil. V'hayis ke'isha ze yamim rabim, misabeles al meis, and that you should act like this type of a person, this woman who would be mourning for numerous days over the loss of a very close relative, which we're going to see who that is. Certainly, she's going to give herself as the impression that she's an almana, that she's a widow, that her husband died, but it's going to be in addition to just her husband having passed away, other tragedies befalling her. So this is what he asks for her to do. So what again is so special about this place, Tekoa? Why did he specifically go there? It doesn't mention even the name of this woman. So Rashi says something pretty interesting, and I'm not sure if people who are into health and things of that nature, if there's any truth to this. The Rashi says, V'yishlach Yoav Tekoa, Amar Rabbi Sein. So the Talmud tells us in Menachos, Ki Shemen Zayis Matzoi Sham. In this place, there was a whole lot of olive oil. And therefore wisdom was found there. So if you enjoy consuming olive oil on a regular basis, it'll make you very smart. What?
We're brilliant here.
So,
It's not working. It's not working.
Well, you don't know. You never know. Maybe it is. It could be working. So, obviously there's probably some other significance to it, how shemen Some actually have the minhag on Hanukkah that when it comes to lighting a candle using a Chanukiah, they use Shemen Zayit, and they actually some have the minhag to put water into each flask. And you see that what ends up happening, of course,
the oil rises,
so it elevates. So there's some certainly a symbolism to what oil is, and that if you consume it and you are what you eat, you can use your imagination that. It also, fire, Torah, or causes light and education and knowledge. Okay, so regardless, this is the magic formula was the olive oil that they ate. And maybe this is part of the reason why, just thinking out loud, why Yoav mentioned, oh, by the way, about Tasuchi Shemen. If obviously you're supposed to act like you're in a velus, you're mourning, so why does he have to mention this oil business? Because oil was the way of life. Correct. But it's interesting that he points out specifically Shemen. Why does he mention oil? It's because that's what they had. Yes.
No, the Samim were made out of Shemen. Also oils of whatever it was. And it was perfumes.
What right. Man? Perfumes.
So it doesn't have to literally be referring to olive oil.
Shemen was
Shemen size.
But the Pasuk doesn't. It just says Shemen. So. But okay. That's so.
Rashi
says
Shemen Zayis, but the
Pasuk
doesn't
say Shemen. Right. The Gemara somehow knows that city had Shemen Zayis, but regardless, he was asking her to show signs of avelus, to show signs of mourning. We look at Masudas David in this second Pasuk, V'yishlach Yoav, Bavor ki ra'ash lev ha-melech tov al Avshalom, which is similar to what we saw already in the Radach in the previous Pasuk, that Yoav noticed that the heart of the king was good. With regard to Avshalom, he still felt feelings for his son. And therefore he wanted that this woman should be able to instill certain thoughts and feelings into him to wake him up so that he will again reunite with his son, with Avshalom. So, let's now see the next pasuk. So we now know the mourning business.
Cool.
Yeah. So if we, this is similar to what Rashi says. Omer Rabbi Seinu Zal. So our rabbis of blessed memory say, my shna tekoa. Why specifically this particular place as opposed to finding anyone else? So Omer Rabbi Yonas and Mitok Shuragilim B'Shemen. B'Shemen Chochma Mitzuy Lehem. It doesn't mention Shemen Zayas from here, but it does. Similarly say that because there was oil which was found there, therefore Chochmah was found there. So there's a connection, as you can see, it's the same Gemara which is quoted in Rashi. Okay, and there was an abundance of this olive oil. Okay, fine. And that's basically what he does, and he supports this with other sources. But that's the gist of the Radach, which is similar to what Rashi said, quoting the Gemara of why Tekoa was chosen as opposed to any other place. So let's continue with the next Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. So now I want you to go in front of the king. Uvasa el hamelech. You go in front of the king. Okay. And v'dibarte love kadavar hazeh. You should speak to him kadavar hazeh. Just this way. I want you to memorize a script. And every single word that I tell you, verbatim is what you should be saying. So Yoav placed these words in her mouth, almost like he kept having her repeat it over and over, rehearsing exactly what you should say to David, so that these words, when David hears them, because I, Yoav, know exactly what David needs to hear, so you'll say them, and then, all of a sudden, hopefully, David's feelings toward his son will change. So the Radach asks the question. The Radach asks, if it's in fact true that you're dealing with someone that all they're doing is rehearsing a whole bunch of lines, why is it necessary that she must be so smart? Right? So if you have an actor on television that looks like they're like a doctor and they say all these fancy, all the jargon and all this, but it doesn't mean that they really know what they're talking about. They just memorize their lines, right?
So
let's see what the Radach says. You're right. So Amru, so the Radach asked the question, If he set up every single thing that should be coming out of her mouth, why did he have to go traveling over to Tekoa? He had to find out where the most olive oil was found in any city. Oh, that must be the smartest town. Let me find the smartest woman with the highest IQ, the best SAT score. Oh, she's going to be the one that's going to do this. Who cares? Just have anyone do it. Any actress. So says the Radat. Lafi Shateda, because it was known, and Yoav understood, that when it came to the conversation with David, even though he would put into her mind, into her mouth, exactly what words should be said, how does Yoav know how the conversation is going to turn? She will need to use her chachma